Hello, everybody, and welcome to this first meditation workshop of The Awakened Life. I just want to start by saying, wow, I am so inspired to have such a large group of you joining me for this program. I'm just feeling really uplifted to have all of you here with me. Thank you for jumping in and being here with us, and we'll go ahead and dive in. So since this is a meditation program, I think it's fitting that we start with a brief moment of, not exactly meditation, but just reflection on this event that we're here for. So I just want to invite you to take a moment to close your eyes, take a few deep, slow breaths. Letting go of the cares and concerns of your day, of anything that's on your mind. Just leaving it all behind. And in this moment, to simply allow everything to be as it is. To allow yourself to be as you are. To accept that no more preparation is needed to awaken to the truth of who you are. The life you've lived has been preparation enough. There has never been a better moment to step into the inherent freedom that has always been your own true nature. Nothing else needs to happen. This is it. The time is now. Because the time is now, you can be all in with no hesitation. No looking back. No waiting for the future. And simply and innocently give all of yourself to the work we'll be doing here and see where it leads you. With that, I just want to invite us all to form a shared and individual intention to fully show up for what we'll be doing today and to leave behind all distractions. And we'll begin. Thank you. So you have come to the Awakened Life. This is a monthly membership program, and it's something I created essentially as a support for you to develop and deepen your meditation practice. And to do so as a catalyst for profound spiritual awakening. So each month of this program, we're going to explore a different facet of what I call the practice of direct awakening, which is a comprehensive meditation system I've developed that has many different dimensions to it. I'll be describing the kind of core principles behind it in just a few minutes. But just trying to ground us in the sort of the practical aspect of where we are before we plunge into the depths. So I guess I wanted to just speak a little bit about kind of how this program came to be, who it's geared toward, and how. So my original idea to create this program came really in response to the needs of my graduate community, because I've trained thousands of people in this approach to meditation now, and I know that many of our graduates are eager to have a sort of virtual temple to come to on a regular basis. In other words, a structure for ongoing guidance in the practice. So that was what initially catalyzed me to create this membership program. But as I started to work on the program and formulate it, I also realized that this would be an equally powerful opportunity for people who are unfamiliar with this work to learn the practice in a less intensive way than I've normally taught it. Because until now, for those of you who've been following me for a while, you may know this, but until now, my shortest meditation course was a 12-week, very intensive course called The Practice of Direct Awakening. But I've been aware ever since I started teaching meditation that that is a pretty high barrier for a lot of people who want to just explore this practice. So, you know, are you ready to jump into a very intensive 12-week program with over 50 different audios and practice guides and videos? You know, it's a very intensive program. So as I was creating this membership program, I thought, well, this could also be a great introduction to the work for someone who wants to dip into it and give it a try without such an intensive commitment. So I really ended up creating the program equally for my beloved graduate community, and I'm delighted to have so many of you here, and also for people who are just checking out this work. And you might say, well, how is it that the program could fulfill both of those needs? And the answer really has to do with the nature of meditation practice itself, and certainly this type of meditation practice. Because the thing about direct awakening practice is that it doesn't have beginning, intermediate, and advanced practices. These practices are the same, whether you're the most advanced meditator or a complete beginner. You know, I teach this work, and when I sit down to meditate, I'm doing the exact same thing that I'm inviting you to do who are here doing it for the first time. So the practices are the same, but as we do them over time, you know, our consciousness opens up, our consciousness awakens, the practice takes on new dimensions in our experience. We start to, you know, there's an experience people have as they do these practices for a while where they hit a new kind of level of awakening to the practice, and they say, oh, now I get how it works. I wasn't doing it at all before. And then a little later they go, oh, now I get how it works. I wasn't doing it at all before. Now, what's true is they're both right. You know, yes, maybe from one point of view, now that you get it in a deeper way, you're really doing what the practice it was meant to be, whereas before you had some, you know, errors in your practice, or it wasn't, you know, you were still clinging on even though you thought you were letting go, etc. So that's true, but it's also true that you were doing it from the beginning, just kind of at a different level. So the point I'm trying to make is, you know, don't worry about, oh, is it too advanced for me or is it too remedial for me? The answer is that, you know, you just do the practices, and the practices meet you where you are. And that's the beginning, intermediate, and advanced level of practice just has to do with you, not with the practice instructions. So this is a program, although it's a meditation program, it's fundamentally a program about spiritual awakening. And these days, the term spiritual awakening is used to mean a lot of different things, just like enlightenment is used to mean a lot of different things. And that's fine, but I want to just briefly explain what I'm pointing to when I use this term awakening or when I use the term enlightenment. So if we look at awakening, which is often used to describe moments of spiritual illumination or insight, it's a metaphor. And it's a metaphor for what happens when we open our eyes in the morning or in the middle of the night sometimes, and we wake up from sleep. So what happens when we wake up from a dream? Just a normal dream. You know, you wake up in the night, you were having a dream. If you think about what it's like, it's we go through this kind of sudden process of our whole reality is shifts. You know, our whole consciousness and being was invested in this story that was unfolding. And then suddenly we're lying there in bed and we're thinking, oh, that wasn't real. That was just a dream. We're back in reality, and we're kind of suddenly realizing that a whole world we were fully invested in and engaged in, you know, doesn't exist. Now, we don't need to get into a debate about, well, are dreams real? Maybe they are. Maybe they're an alternate reality. Who knows? Many different ways to look at dreams. I'm not trying to go down that road as much. Just more to give you the experiential sense of, at least from the point of view of the self you are who wakes up, that wasn't real. This is real. And your whole world kind of goes through a 180 degree shift. So the reason awakening is used so often to describe spiritual transformation is that it has a similar quality. There's this shift in our consciousness, and we suddenly realize that this whole story we had invested our life energy in and this whole world we were engaged in isn't reality. That something else is real. And that so much of what we took to be real was not at all. It was just a fabrication of our mind. It was just a story we had made up. It was just an erroneous way of seeing reality. Now, there are many dimensions to that, but the one I really want us to focus on here, because it's really the essence of what is important about awakening. So there are a lot of dimensions, we could talk for hours about all the things that shift in our consciousness as we spiritually awaken. But the critical, essential piece to spiritual awakening, I really want to name in two pieces. The first is that it is the discovery that there is a sacred essence to this whole reality. That the whole cosmos, this whole event is, at bottom, it's a glorious, luminous, divine happening. And that was not apparent before. Prior to that moment, this seemed like kind of a, you know, material world, kind of a cruel world in a lot of ways, you know, sort of a random world, a world where, you know, it's hard to make sense out of it all because, you know, on the one hand, there's a lot of good things, on the other hand, a lot of horrible things, and it just kind of seems like a, you know, and this is what the scientific materialists, of course, would try to convince us of. See, it's a random, chaotic, largely, you know, often cruel event. That's what life and that's what the cosmos is. But this So this first essential discovery of spiritual awakening is that no, it's not the way it seemed. There's actually this sacred heart of reality that is just, it's the fundamental truth of reality. That it's made of a kind of God stuff or Buddha nature, as the Mahayana Buddhists would say. It has Buddha nature. It has an enlightened consciousness dimension to it. And then the even more important realization of spiritual awakening is that this sacred essence is the essence of who we are. That it's who we are. It's the real self that you are. That I previously took myself to be this story of this person who was born at a certain time and has lived through certain life experiences, and I got my bad side and my good side, and I'm trying to be better, and I've got my that I was that this finite being. And then in an instant of awakening, I realized that I'm not that. I'm not that little story. I'm not that little person. I am this vast, infinite, sacred consciousness. This immense power. This unstoppable force of love. This care that has no end. This surging well of creativity. I am that. This is who I am. How did I not see it before? How did I spend my whole life thinking I was something so much smaller and so much more limited than this immensity? It seems incomprehensible to us when we have even a moment of awakening, and I'm sure many of you have had many moments of awakening, and it's one of the most fundamental things, isn't it? It's like, how did I not see what's so completely apparent right now and so utterly significant? It realigns everything. Our entire relationship to this life transforms in unimaginable ways. In the knowledge, in the direct knowing of our true nature. Suddenly, because we're not in fear of life, we're not believing in all these stories of limitation, and we don't have a fundamental sense that something's missing and lacking. We become this being who is open, innocent, responsive, filled with love and care, overflowing with the kind of spontaneous wisdom that's coming from a place we don't even know. It's not our wisdom. We can't claim it, but it seems to show up. Creative responses coming out of nowhere. We're this, the metaphors, against being a metaphor, is the metaphor of being reborn, which is again often used to describe spiritual transformation, makes a lot of sense. We're reborn into a completely different knowing of who we are, and it's this whole new set of capacities just come with it. And we experience this sense of flow. We're able to meet challenges in life without contracting back into fear or without insisting on limitation. We're present for what's happening, not shying away from discomfort and difficulty. And all of this is happening naturally and effortlessly because it's arising from our direct knowing of reality and of ourself. We're not trying to be, many of us, all those qualities I just mentioned are qualities we try to embody as spiritual people, as good people. We want to be more that way. We work on it. But now we discover that our own nature already is that way. That those are our natural virtues. So this is what I mean when I use the word awakening or enlightenment in its essence. Yet, although it's the most natural way of being, it's extremely rare for a human being to actually discover this, and let alone discover it, but then begin to embody it, to live in what would really just what's been called the natural state. The natural state. This is our natural state. It's experienced as utterly natural when we tap into it, when we step into it, and it is arguably the most native kind of essential dimension of who we are. So why is it then not the natural state of most of humanity? Why is it not generally apparent to us? And there are a lot of ways to talk about that, but one simple way to look at it is that many of our most intact or entrenched human habits obstruct this deeper knowing. So even though this way of being that I'm describing would just be the easiest, most natural way for all of us to be, and it is when we learn how to step into it, in spite of that, we have, due to no fault of our own, but just as human beings, we have this whole collection of habits that run counter. They run directly in opposition to this, the natural functioning of awakened consciousness. So for instance, we have this habit of never being satisfied with this moment. We're always rejecting this moment in pursuit of a better moment. Always saying, this isn't it, but once I have everything just right, then it will be better. It will be the moment. We have a habit of grasping, holding on to pleasurable feelings, of seeking to feel good and pushing away discomfort, not wanting to feel bad. It's one of the most fundamental habits we all have. I want to feel good. I don't want to feel bad. It's very counter to awakened consciousness, which just wants to be with reality as it is and doesn't really care how we feel one moment to the next. We have a fundamental habit of wanting certainty, of needing to know, of desperately grasping for, you know, I just want to know. I want to be able to predict what's going to happen. I want to know, you know, I want to know all of it. Awakened consciousness has no grasping for that, no need to know. It's an innocent letting go of any of that. There's a human habit or egoic habit of always seeing things in terms of separation, imposing separation on the organic wholeness of reality, only seeing parts, not seeing the whole. And there's a fundamental habit of always kind of insisting there's a problem. Something's always wrong. And I'm going to fix it. And many others, but these are just examples of the kind of fundamental habits of consciousness that run counter to awakened consciousness. And so the practice of direct awakening was designed to disrupt those habits. Essentially, this practice, each of these practices are designed to cause a break in your awareness, a discontinuity, a gap that will enable your enlightened nature to manifest directly in your meditation. Now, that can sound like a big or esoteric thing, but it's not. It's very down to earth. So what I mean by that is just as I a moment ago spoke about all the habits of human nature or our egoic habits of unenlightened consciousness. Just like unenlightened consciousness has these predictable habits, enlightened consciousness also has what you could call habits. It also relates to the world in particular ways. Awakened consciousness is when I'm awake or you're awake, our consciousness is the same. And it's all equally predictable as unawakened consciousness. So awakened, you know, I named some of the habits of unawakened consciousness. Let's look at some of the natural habits or characteristics or dispositions of what it's like to be awake. When our consciousness is awake, when we're awake, we're open, receptive, fluid, flexible. We're available. We're not grasping after certainties. We don't feel a compulsion to have to know or be able to predict things in advance. We're naturally at ease in the face of everything that arises. We're fully present in this moment, not holding out for a better future. We're simply awake. These are ways that awakened consciousness shows up. And this practice that we're going to be doing here is based on the realization that all of these natural orientations of awakened consciousness are things that you can practice. You can practice those things in meditation. You can practice letting go. You can practice letting things be. You can practice not clinging on to the mind, not grasping after certainty and not identifying with thought. You can practice simply being present, awake, and aware, and not in reaction to what's happening. You can practice not holding out for a better future, not looking somewhere else other than this moment. And many other natural attitudes or dispositions of awakening are things that you and I can sit down for half an hour a day and practice. We're just practicing relating to our minds, our feelings, and this world in an enlightened way. Instead of waiting for enlightenment to happen to us, we're practicing being enlightened. Instead of waiting to wake up, we're practicing being awake. We're practicing being free. We're practicing making room for a mystery to show up in our experience. Another way to look at this, and this is the last piece I'll speak about before we start our practice. Another way to look at it is that what we're doing when we do the practice of direct awakening is that we're creating daily opportunities for awakened consciousness to show up by practicing a way of being that only awakened consciousness can participate in. So what I mean is, so all those things I just mentioned that we can practice letting things be, practice not knowing, practice being present. What part of you can do those practices? Can your ego do that? Can your ego let things be? Can your ego let go? Can your ego not need to know? Can your ego be aware of consciousness? No way. There's no way. Your ego can't do these practices at all. Your ego will fall on its face trying to do the practice of direct awakening, and that will be part of your experience, believe me. It will try and do these practices, but it can't. The unenlightened self can't do this practice. So what happens when you create conditions that only awakened consciousness can engage in? If you take a stand in the practice, if you do it diligently, you are creating the conditions where awakened consciousness has to show up because it's the only part of you that can meet the practice challenge. So we've all experienced in life what it's like to have new abilities show up when there's no other option, right? We hear stories about, a parent, their child gets their leg trapped under a car, and the parent suddenly lifts the car to get the child out, discovers a kind of strength that they never could have had before. But the strength emerged in the face of the challenge. Or, you know, if you want to see how fast a person can run, unleash a lion, right? Suddenly, new capacities for running are going to emerge, and they're going to run much faster than they could in any race. What is that? You know, or if we're under a big creative deadline and we haven't been able to come up with any ideas, but the deadline is looming, the urgency builds up to a point where suddenly the floodgates open and you get your big idea that saves the day. What happened in all those situations? We got ourselves in a circumstance where there was no other option but for some higher capacity to show up, and it did. So I created the practice of direct awakening to do that for us, to put us in a situation in our practice where awakened consciousness is the only part of us that can show up and do it. And so we just, our mission, our commitment is to show up and do the practice. And then in doing so, we're kind of creating the environment where a deeper and higher part of ourself that's always already here, that's ever eager to show up anyway, and it can show up because we've created no other option. And lo and behold, if we do it, we stay with it, it does. It does. And the more we stay with the practice, the more room we're making for this to show up, and the more experience we have resting in awakened consciousness, practicing being awake, the more it just becomes our truly natural state. And the harder it becomes to fall back to something else. So that's the invitation that this practice is for us. So we're now going to move into doing some of these practices. A few quick suggestions as we do. I want to invite you to relate to each practice as an experiment. In other words, you don't know how to do this. Nobody does. Each time you do it, you come to it with just open, innocent, experimental orientation. And be easy with yourself around this. Don't be worried about doing it right. Don't try to figure out if you're doing it right. Just keep working with it. Keep exploring it with curiosity, with interest, with openness, without self-judgment and criticism. And just see. We're going to do a few different things. Some of them might open something up for you. Others might not. It's okay. This is our first session. It's a brief training. We're covering a lot of ground. We'll have a lot of opportunity throughout the month to work with these. So, with that, we're going to go ahead and jump in. So I want to invite you to now just find yourself a relaxed, comfortable meditation posture. To say a brief word about meditation posture, since it's something that certain meditative traditions say a lot about. To do these practices, you don't need to sit on the floor. You don't need to sit holding your hands in a certain position or your knees in a certain position or any of that. However, I do recommend you sit with your back straight, that you sit upright with your back unsupported, meaning not leaning back in a chair or on the couch, but that you sit like on the edge of your chair or the edge of your couch if you're sitting on one, and that you sit with your knees a little lower than your hips. So that might mean you have to put a pillow under your on your seat to just raise your hips up a bit. And I'm saying this because this is just, it's good posture, and I'm not going to lecture you about good posture in life, but in meditation, the reason good posture is important is that it supports us to forget about our body. By forget about the body, I mean to not be distracted by pain. Because if you sit with bad posture in meditation where you're not moving, you're being still with bad posture, it hurts pretty soon. You start to feel pain. So, but if you have a natural S curve in your spine and you're sitting upright, your knees are a little low, so that brings your pelvis forward and you've got this good upright posture, chances are you'll be able to sit still without pain distracting you. And that's essentially all I'm going to say about posture here. Oh, other than if you have a physical condition that prevents you from sitting in the way I'm describing, then sit in a way that's comfortable for your physical condition. And don't worry. And even if you have to lay down because that's the only comfortable position, it's okay. Meditating lying down is difficult only because it tends to put us to sleep. It's, you know, harder to stay awake when you're lying down. So better to sit up. But if that's your only comfortable position, don't worry about it. You could meditate in any position. So we're getting into a posture that we can sit in. It hopefully meets some of the criteria I mentioned. And these are practices you can do with your eyes open or closed. If you sit with your eyes open, which can be a good way to sit, you might experiment with both at different times, but not during the same practice session. Maybe one meditation, try it eyes open, the other try it eyes closed, see what it's like. But sitting eyes open means with your eyes looking down and resting in one place and not focusing intently, but just resting naturally in one place for the meditation period. Just allow yourself to settle into the meditation. Settle into your posture. The first practice we're going to explore is the practice of allowing. Of allowing everything to be exactly the way it is. Letting things be as they are. But before we do a longer version of it, I want to invite you to try it just for 30 seconds. We're just going to do a 30-second meditation on letting things be. So the way it's going to work is I'm going to say, at a certain point, I'm going to say start, you'll begin, and then I'll say stop after 30 seconds. And for that 30 seconds, you're going to what? Let everything be as it is. Just let everything be, just for this half a minute. Okay? Begin. And stop. Okay. Now we're going to try doing it for a full minute. Begin. was that? Chances are doing it for a shorter time was a little easier. Doing it for a little longer time, questions start to come up. Am I doing it right? What does it mean to let everything be? So we're now going to do this for a longer period, open-ended, and I'm going to guide it a bit more to help clarify what it is. And just in this moment, allow this moment to happen in whatever way it's happening. You're letting yourself feel however you feel. You're letting your mind do whatever it's doing. Just not resisting, not rejecting anything in your experience. We spend our entire lives trying to make something happen, trying to get somewhere, trying to accomplish something, trying to experience something, trying to awaken to something. Trying to become someone. Just let all that go. All the becoming, all the trying, all the striving, all the struggling. Allow this moment to be as it is. Allow yourself to be as you are. And that includes everything about you and everything about this moment. Just let it be. letting things be, allowing means allowing things to change. Each new moment of experience is different than the previous one. Sometimes our mind is quiet, other times thoughts flutter up. Sometimes we feel peaceful, other times we feel some tension. Letting things be is not holding on to a particular state of feeling peaceful. Letting things be means letting each moment flow into the next, letting it all be exactly as it is. No need to change anything. Now I want to invite you to gently let go of our first practice. So that practice may have revealed itself to you a little bit or a lot or not. Don't worry about it. It was just a brief practice. But can you see how, this is the important part, can you see how if you were to continue letting things be, to take a stand in allowing everything to be and not trying to change anything, not trying to become anything, not resisting, not rejecting anything. If you could take a stand in that for long enough, regularly enough, how eventually your ego has nowhere to go, has no way to participate. And this wide open space opens up, creating the space for the only part of you that could possibly embrace letting things be, which is your own awakened self, that there would be no option. That's the fundamental opportunity of really doing this practice. So we're now going to move to our second practice. And it is the practice of innocence, which means the practice of letting go of the need to know. If you look at how we go through our lives, we're always making meaning. We're always trying to interpret what's happening, and we're evaluating what's happening, meaning we're trying to figure out what it means, and we're trying to figure out whether it's good or bad or somewhere in between. We're trying to know. It makes a lot of sense in life, but when it comes to making room for awakened consciousness, we can step out of the whole compulsive pattern of grasping onto the mind, of participating in the mind's attempt to know reality. We can step into innocence, into not knowing, and the infinite space it opens up. So we're again going to start with a 30-second meditation. And what we're going to do when I say start for half a minute is you're going to give up your mind. You're going to not try to know anything. Just don't know anything for half a minute. Let yourself sit in the unknown, in unknowing. And go ahead and begin. And stop. So again, we're just not getting involved with the mind. The mind yammering away about everything it knows, everything it's trying to know. We just step out of that stream. We just don't know. Whatever the mind throws up, I don't know. No idea. We're resting in the freedom of having no idea. Go ahead and begin. And stop. The profound, spontaneous wisdom that is the hallmark of enlightenment only arises from this unknowing, this innocence. Our willingness to let go of the known, to not grasp for certainty, makes room for a wisdom beyond the mind. I'm now going to guide us in this practice. Give yourself the freedom to not need to know anything. Realize you don't really know anything. Okay, maybe that's going too far. But not in the way that your ego wants to. Deep down, we are innocent. We aren't really certain about so many of the things we try to be so sure of. Reality is a great unknown. There is so much more that we don't know than what we do know. Allow yourself to rest in the mystery of unknowing, not needing to know anything. You're just here, present. With no idea. You may notice that your mind continues to generate thought. Thoughts which take the form of knowing something or trying to know something. Realize you are not the mind. You are not the one generating those thoughts. They are arising on their own. With no without being generated by you. And therefore you do not have to engage in the mind. You do not have to engage with thought. Thoughts arise in the vast sky of consciousness. You just let them pass through the sky like clouds blowing across the blue open sky. your position in relation to everything the mind presents is, I have no idea if that's true. And I have no interest in figuring it out. No idea, no interest. I'm more interested in the unknown, in the mystery. Now go ahead and gently let go of this practice. I want to invite you to take 1 minute to just stretch, stand up, move your body, not in a big way, but just in a way to shake off any discomfort or stiffness. We've been sitting for a while. We have 2 more practices to go. So just give yourself 1 minute to just take care of the body, adjust. As you let that practice go, you can continue to just be innocent and allowing. See how the 2 practices we've done work together, letting things be, not needing to know anything, not getting involved with the mind. By the way, one thing I haven't mentioned today is that if you do any one of these practices fully, you will spontaneously be doing all of them automatically, because these practices are just the natural dispositions of awakened consciousness. If you do it fully, you are fully stepping into awakened consciousness, and therefore all of the other practices, which are just naturally derived from awakening, will all be there happening. You do one, you do them all. Yet each of these is a different doorway into awakened consciousness, that some will work better for some of us than others. That's why we have a lot of different ways to come at it. All right, settling back into our seats. And again, taking your meditation posture. This practice, we're not going to do 2 short ones and a long one, because it's a different type of practice. So for this practice, this is a practice of becoming aware of awareness itself, or consciousness itself. One simple way of understanding what awakened consciousness is, it's consciousness that is awake to itself. Normally in human life, our consciousness, our awareness, is only aware of things. We're aware of all the
the world around us. We're aware of the thoughts in our mind, the feelings in our heart, the sensations in our body. We're aware of content, of phenomena, of things. Awakened consciousness is still aware of all that, but it's also aware of itself. It's consciousness that has discovered consciousness. And that is a profound discovery. The discovery of the experiencer, the discovery of the one who is aware. So to begin this practice, I just want to invite you to become aware of your body and all of your bodily sensations that you can feel right now. The pressure of the cushion against your seat, the feeling of the floor or whatever against your feet, the breath going in and out, clothing against your skin. Any discomfort or pain, any pleasant feelings. Become aware of your emotions. You don't have to name them, but just notice how you feel emotionally. What feelings are present? The feeling quality of this moment. Become aware of thought, of what's coming up in your mind moment to moment. If your eyes are open, just notice what's in your visual field. Without looking around, but just be aware of what you can see. And notice the sound of my voice. And any other sounds you can hear. And now I want to invite you become aware of that which is aware of all of those objects in consciousness. Become aware of the awareness of all of these things. Notice that this awareness is not located in a particular place. There is an awareness that is registering the sound of my voice. It's not somewhere in your head. And if you're aware of somewhere in your head, notice what is aware of that place. And what is aware of that place that's aware of that. Bring your attention to the context in which everything arises. Instead of focusing on this or that event or thing, notice the context in which those things and events are occurring, which is consciousness, awareness, always here, but not locatable. We're going to work with this now a little more specifically. I want to invite you to become very aware of the movement of breath. Give your full attention to the breath going in and out, however you experience it. Not trying to breathe slowly or differently, but just paying close attention to the movement of the breath, coming in, going out, and then a brief pause before the next in-breath. Just follow that breath very closely through all three parts of that movement. And now, shift your attention to the awareness of the breath. Instead of focusing on the breath, focus on the awareness of the breath moving. So the breath is still moving in the background. You're still aware of it, but you're noticing the awareness of it. Now bring your attention back to the breath directly, only paying attention to the breath moving through its cycle. And now bring your attention back to the awareness of the breath moving through its cycle. If your eyes are closed, now open your eyes and allow them to. And for all of us, just look at something in the space around you. Just one thing, a piece of furniture or the wall or the floor. But just look at it. And take a moment to really closely observe it. Notice all of the characteristics, what it's made of, the shape it is, what the surface looks like. What color it is, just really observe it intently for a moment as though you were describing it. And now become aware of the awareness of that object. Bring your attention to the experiencer, to the part of you that is aware of that, to the awareness of it. You're still aware of it, you're still looking at it, but now you're bringing your attention to the awareness, not to the thing itself. Now allow your gaze to just rest in one place, or you can close your eyes again if you were meditating eyes closed. And I want to invite you to just rest in awareness itself. Thoughts still arise. Sensations are present. The sound of my voice is here. But just give your attention to awareness, to consciousness, to that which is experiencing all of those things, but is not itself a thing and cannot be found anywhere. Now I want to invite you to let go of this practice. We're going to do one more brief practice. This one will be very easy, I promise. I'm sure some of you found that one easy. I'm sure some of you found it impossible. And that's okay. That can be a very technical, challenging practice. But again, can you see how, if you were to consistently take the position of sitting in meditation and taking your attention off of any object and learning how to bring your attention to awareness or consciousness itself, how that could open a door for a deeper reality to emerge. That's the possibility. So for this last meditation, we're going to simply allow meditation to happen without doing anything to make it happen. See, there is a meditation that is always already occurring. There is a part of you that is always in meditation. What is meditation? It's letting things be. It's not needing to know. It's not grasping after the mind. It's not trying to get somewhere. It's not chasing after feelings. It's awareness of awareness. It's our own natural state. Meditation is awakened consciousness simply being itself. There is a part of us that is always in meditation, that is always outside of time and change and becoming. And there is a meditation that's always already happening. So, for this meditation, I just want to invite you to allow meditation to meditate you. Allow yourself to simply be here and available for the meditation that's already going on. Just let meditation happen in whatever way it does. Don't try to do anything at all in the name of meditation. Just be here. Meditation isn't something we generate. It's not something you make happen. It's something you make room for. It's something you open to. If there's anything to practice in this practice now, it's simply being available for what's already occurring, which doesn't even mean trying to feel anything in particular. Let this be easy. Let meditation be the easiest thing you've ever done. We just did a lot of specific practices. They have a momentum in your consciousness now. Just let the momentum carry you. Just allow it to happen. Just letting the meditation that's already occurring bring us along with it. We're letting ourselves be taken, be carried. That doesn't mean you have to feel a special, blissful, peaceful feeling. It just means let the meditation happen in whatever way it does. now going to guide us in briefly revisiting each of the practices we did today. Let's take a minute to just let everything be again, to allow this moment to be as it is. No need to change anything. It means letting this workshop be whatever it has been. Without judgment. Without wanting it to have been different. Just let it be what it was. Let this moment, as we're nearing the end, be as it is. And let yourself be as you are. Now, let's take a moment to let go of any need to know, to rest in the unknown, in the freedom of having no idea and not needing any idea. Become aware of awareness. Give your attention to the awareness of this moment as it's arising. Your own consciousness, which is not found anywhere, but is always right here. Aware. And again, just allow the meditation that's already occurring to carry you along. No need to make any effort at all. Just being. And now gently let go of the practice. My hope is that one of these experiments today gave you a taste . But whether or not you had any kind of profound experience is not really the point. Meditation is less about having a powerful experience in the meditation than it is about learning a new way of relating to our experience, a new way of being with our minds, our feelings, our lives. And I want to invite you as you go through the rest of your day and also to observe this week. Just notice if there are any impacts from this workshop on your day. Because very often we have the experience that the power of the practice we did shows up at another time where we notice our consciousness is much freer. We notice we're less reactive. We notice we're more present. You know, many different manifestations of it, but I'm not inviting you to try to bring meditation into your life. I'm inviting you to notice the ways that the practices we did impact the rest of your life. And that's something I'll be inviting you to do throughout the month because that's how it works. And for those of you who did have a deep experience of this, that's wonderful. And I'm sure you'll want to stay with that throughout your day as well. So in closing, I just want to say this has been a profound honor and a delight, and I really felt the powerful collective field throughout the practice. I hope you did too. Some of us are more sensitive to field effects than others. Don't worry about that. It's not about being able to feel it. But really wonderful to be with you. Thank you again for joining for this month. Thank you for coming. Bye-bye.